Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We move it, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Basketball fans, the NBA, sorry, oh shoot. All right, things just kind of froze up on me. I think I'm back. Whoa, what the? Anyway, I'm sorry about that intro. NBA Playoff Banter Podcast returns. And I'll tell you what, as a basketball fan, and this is a really, really bad intro. That was really weird. My whole thing just shut down, but it's okay. Anyway, as a basketball fan, especially that one that does a podcast, it's really great to have to schedule the show and label it Game 7 Predictions. And it's with a plural, right? I mean, Game 7s, right? So here we are. Late in May. Happy Memorial Day weekend to everyone. And we have Cleveland and Boston tonight in a game 7, do or die. And then tomorrow night, another do or die, this time Golden State in Houston. Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals coming all the way down to the wire. You got to love it. You simply got to love it. It's just, it's a great time of year, and just happy. You know, I randomly just got lucky to have today and tomorrow off. And as we know, what the hell? All right, sorry. I got another strange message this time from my co-host saying, can you send me the number? I guess he can't find his phone right now, so he's got to use some. You know, we're all just ignorant now to phone numbers. We can't remember anything. I can remember my Social Security number, a bunch of different long numbers, but for whatever reason, I'm just lost when it comes to that. But anyway, it just, you know, as we know, the Western Conference Finals are the finals. I mean, stranger things have happened, but it'd have to have a lot of injury involved. It really would. It would have to. There'd have to be some serious injuries. And speaking of, Game 7, as far as the outcome, you know, can be swayed with Chris Paul. Potentially, obviously. You never know. But hopefully, and I know my co-host probably can't say the same thing here when I say hopefully. But hopefully, Chris Paul is back. But anyway, two Game 7s to talk about. We are going to, you know, talk about recent days. We're not going to go back to, you know, last Monday or Tuesday. You know, we're going to talk recent games. Games 5 and Game 6s, obviously, are probably what we're going to focus on. But, man, it's just awesome. I'm kind of speechless just because of the topic matter and, well, not the topic matter. I mean, we're about to do well over an hour of a podcast, so I'm not speechless, but I'm just really in a good mood overall. Got the next 2 days off, and I get to watch the finals because, like we said, and everybody knows, this is the finals. I mean, no matter what happens. And it's just gravy that we actually get a game seven on the other side. And that has been a strange series in many ways. And thank God of late, especially not so much in the Eastern Conference, but at least the Western Conference, since it is the finals, at least we've had some tight games and interesting games. Even last night, actually. But games four and games five were close. Even last night, if you think about it, I mean, Houston was in the lead, had somewhat control of it, although you never felt like they had control, in my opinion, anyway. Although the scoreboard at times looked good for them, especially in the first half, but clearly Golden State finally just clicked completely on offense and then, destroyed them at the end. But still, it was a good game. But the last two games, games four and game five, were competitive, and that's probably the biggest takeaway from this playoffs have been, well, not the playoffs, but the conference finals, have been lack of competitive games at times. Sure, it's fun to see someone, dominate and whatnot, and it's very impressive, right, of course. But you want to see some tight games. I mean, sometimes you feel like, man, I'd rather have a five-game series and three out of the five are really good games, tight-ass games. You know what I mean? So it kind of comes and goes when it comes to that. But, here we are. And actually, my co-host is now on. My switchboard is up and all good, even though we had a weird start there. But by the way, before we get into this, if this is your first time checking out the NBA Playoff Banter podcast or the College Ball Show, which started in August on college football, switched in January to college basketball. We are now still on the basketball topic with the NBA podcast. We take this all the way to the finals. Then we do two more shows. One is the NBA draft centered around that. And then the second one is like early July for the NBA free agency show. It's all on the under the umbrella of the Rope It Up Radio podcast. So we got football, basketball, and boxing. And we're available everywhere under that Rope It Up Radio podcast. You can check it out on iTunes, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, really anywhere you check out your podcast. It does stream live here at blogtalkradio.com/Rope It Up Radio. It streams live and archives. It's basically like the headquarters. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. Check out thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. The Sports Podcast Network is available everywhere I just mentioned, and also on iHeartRadio. Before you know it, we're going to have all our shows on Spotify as well. You can stream them there. But check out thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. You got podcasts. You got articles. I actually just posted an article, if you're a boxing fan, on the new Eddie Hearn streaming service that's coming to America. Got a huge, huge investment into the sport. It's like the third investment in the sport in the last 3-4 years. So it's a good thing. But anyway, you can check out articles, podcasts of all sorts, not just football, baseball, or baseball as well, and some other sports as well, but it centers around football, basketball, and as we know, boxing. So, let's get into it. Obviously, it makes it a little bit more interesting because we do have a Golden State fan in the building, my co-host. But, he's not one of those come-lately fans, not in this sport anyway. I mean, I do rag on him. If you pay attention to the show, I do rag on him from time to time. But when it comes to basketball and when it comes to Golden State, I've known him for over a decade now. So he was there in the down times. He was there with the upset as an ace seed. He was there early on. So a lot of people that like the Warriors now, of course, have just jumped on. You know what I mean? But, yeah, so we'll start in the West just because like I said, let's be honest, this is the finals. Now, and, you know, it seems like every every podcast, playoff podcast, I should say, for the NBA that we've done beginning in April, it seems like we start with LeBron. Like, dude, LeBron, holy shit, LeBron. And don't get me wrong, it's still holy shit, LeBron. I mean, dude's tied for second all time during a single postseason for the playoffs for 40-plus games. He's tied right now with Jordan. Jerry West has 8. Iverson had 6. 2001 was the last time anyone even had 6. But he can't score, right? LeBron can't score. But we'll get in to all the stats and all the crazy wild – well, not the wild games, that's for sure. Not the craziness of the games, but – just the home-home, away-away, you know, it's so funny how both teams are just pretty much garbage at times on the road, or just poor, under, you know, below average, if not garbage. But like I said, let's focus in on the big one. And that is, of course, is Game 7 tomorrow. We're not going to get into predictions. We're just going to kind of recap slightly. We're not going to go 45 minutes or nothing like that, guys, and talk about game, you know, 5. But we will start in the game 5, game 6 region. Obviously, last night, Golden State, I was kind of surprised. I'm about to bring in my co-host Marshall in just a second. I was kind of surprised they came out just mediocre. You know, even in game 5, they got that big lead. They came hot. What was it, 12-0 and 22-something, like, it was, they came out hot, and that obviously, you know, calmed down, and you know, it was a really tight game after a while, but this one, Houston came out, you know, mind you, with no Chris Paul, although, you know, a day before the game last night, so on Friday, I heard a bunch of people saying he's not even going to fly, you know, he's not even flying to Oakland, he's not even flying to Cali. They're just going to shut them down and try to do the best. Because, you know, when you're injured, getting on a plane sometimes makes you stiff or whatever. But he was suited up, Chris Paul, but he was not on the court. So, mind you, I'm thinking in my head, this could be a blowout. And ultimately it was. It came in like a quarter in change, you know. It was kind of crazy how that happened. It was like 38-22 or something at one point. I'm like, Jesus, guys. And then you could finally start to see them make a run. And it was like 10-0, 14-0. And they got back in the game, although they didn't ride the ship all the way to where they overtook the lead until the third quarter. But you could even see at the beginning of the third quarter, they just had this spark. And they finally just had these little 2-3, maybe 4-minute stretches where they just jump on you 10-0, 12-0. And they got over the top, and then they kind of played a little tit-for-tat, back and forth. Houston would take the lead, then Golden State. But then they just got scorchy hot. And you could tell in Game 5, banging up the knee and whatnot, I believe it was for Thompson, he didn't seem like he was the same. But, man, he went off, I think, to a tune of 35 points last night. So we'll talk about last night games, especially, you know, with my co-host here, Marshall. But game 5, you know, it was a really interesting game. Obviously, Durant had some problems in the fourth quarter, had a great game until the fourth quarter. Thompson and Curry were so-so until they started picking it up, and they were the ones who were kind of doing it down the stretch. Especially in this game, the bench, I mean, 4 points off the bench is ridiculous for Golden State. Especially when you had, you know, you did have Livingston play 18 minutes. Even Bell played 14 minutes, so they had some time to do something. It's not like their three-pointers were way off or anything like that. They were getting to the line at a high rate, both were. Talking about that game 5, obviously 32-23, but still, we know that clearly that Golden State, you know, Houston chases those scenarios. But Chris Paul, you know, Harden had one of his one of the worst games 3-point wise. And he started out really good, and they needed all that in the beginning. I mean, shit, he had a fair amount of points of his, what did he end up with, 19, in the first half, and then he just went to sleep. But 0 of 11, I think he tied John Starks in game 7, I think it was. 0 for 11 from 3. And that's the thing. Like, you know how we've been using this playoff Westbrook or playoff this guy? Playoff Harden, you just don't know what the hell you're going to get. You may get 50, and you may get, you know, just a half a basketball where you're like, dog, what are you even doing? And it's kind of funny like that. But every, like, third, fourth game, he just shits on himself. But Chris Paul has come to life. He was shimmying, Marshall. He was shimmying on your boy, Curry. And I did like how Curry laughed it back, like, all right, dude, you got me. You know, you can't shimmy on someone and not expect it to come back to you. So I did like his mentality when it came to that. But a couple of things, Marshall, then I'm going to pass it to you. We talked about the recent years, and I remember you talking about this plenty of times, especially in the Cleveland series last year, the finals, how, you know, you can't, like, play their game that much. You cannot run and gun. Even if you can run and gun, which clearly Cleveland's probably best at that, especially last year's team. They had, you know, two dudes that could break you down off the dribble too. But they did see it was just up and down, up and down, up and down. And clearly you don't want to go up and down, up and down, up and down. You don't want that free-flowing basketball against Golden State because that's when the passes come out. And, in fact, it's almost been a throwback to more breaking you down off the dribble. So Houston on one end, the offensive end, will grind you down, get the matchup they want, grind, 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 6 seconds left, put up a shot. How many times have we seen an off-balance shot or an off-balance three go in right near the end of the shot clock? So they're grinding you, making you work for everything you got on the offensive side, and really that's Golden State's defensive side, right? Early in the series, they were kind of exploiting Curry, they were kind of exploiting him there. It's probably the most he's been exploited in quite some rather. All right, I got dropped. Where did my co-host go? All right, so that's not a... Wait a second. All right, so he... All right, my co-host dropped for some reason. He should have started just going with his segment. I'm not sure why he dropped. Maybe he didn't hear me or whatever. Okay, he's back on. Marshall, you back on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Marshall, you there? All right. I was like, what are you doing? No, you do your segment. I'll come back on. The Skype just dropped me for some odd reason.
Okay.
I don't know what it was, but it's good to go now. It probably was a military plane overhead or something. That's usually what drops it. But anyway, the last couple of years, clearly they were just offense and no defense. And when you bring in the role players, and especially like a guy like Chris Paul, but the role players, especially for defense, and some of the guys you had here, the improvement, we talked about it. Ariza's done a great job overall, but this is a team effort on this one. It's actually been rare that both of them, and both stars, Paul and Harden, have just been going off together. So they actually haven't had a ton of that. But overall, I think that's what I've been most impressed about is defensively from the Houston side. Let's go back to Game 5 and talk about last night as well and just kind of give me a blend of your thoughts of where we're at in this series and the last couple of games to get us to this Game 7. Because, Marshall, I'll tell you what, when you're sitting there scheduling the show, and you get to put NBA Game 7 predictions, and it's for both sides, that's pretty freaking cool, because as we know, this is the NBA Finals, so technically, or I shouldn't say technically, but basically, we got another Game 7 in the Finals.
Yeah, and I think it's been the first time in a very long time that both conference finals had Game 7s. I think the best thing, maybe one of the best signings Houston made all year, was the signing of P.J. Tucker. He doesn't get the praise and the publicity that Chris Paul and Harden get, but, I mean, that dude is basically the version of Draymond Green except he plays for Houston. I'm pretty sure he had 16 rebounds in Game 5. He's been hitting corner threes all playoffs. He's a guy that is, you know, much better defensively than Harden. He's maybe the best defender on the team, and he's just a gritty guy that, like you said, they've been missing for a while. He doesn't get, like, you know, to loose, you know, he doesn't get beat to a loose rebound, and he never takes plays off. So I think, to me, he's kind of been the reason why this is more of a series. I mean, offensively, Harden's numbers have been pretty shitty. He's been able to get to the free throw line and make free throws, but well, he started off game five, I think, 0-10 from 3-point line, which is pathetic. But, you know, he got his way to fouls. But I think the core people that they've had around him have really helped. And I guess whether you respect it or not, D'Antoni's really only been playing seven people the whole series. So, you know, a guy like Ariza and Gordon and PJ, they've kind of been the surprising part to me, Chris. I mean, you knew that Paul and Harden would do their thing, but their core players have really stepped up and made it more of a series. And I don't really know what when Harden.
I mean, it's not more than a series, Marshall. We're in Game 7, so you might as well get that out of your vocab. Yeah, it's more of a series now. Yeah, actually going to go an extra game. Hey, buddy, they were down 3-2. Come on.
I'm surprised that those guys have been, like, the part making it a seven-game series compared to, you know, Harden. But Harden last year when he bowed out, he had a garbage game, and he's been pretty bad. So I just compliment the bench they brought in, or the basically their star role players, because those guys have played phenomenal. In regards to Golden State, I've been fed up with him throughout the whole year, Kevin Durant's been bad. I for a guy that's maybe the best power forward scoring shooter ever, he's been garbage this series. If you're going to be one of the best players, you cannot shoot like 35% three games in a row, basically, and expect to get all the praise that he does. And why we've had moments where we've become a Houston-type team and let Durant turn into isolation basketball, I don't know. It's incredibly frustrating to watch, because if you've watched Golden State forever, they're a team that will have a great game of passing, run around, come off screens, make picks, and offense has a flow to it. But these games lately where Kevin Durant's like, oh, I guess, you know, I'm just going to do my own thing. Well, dude, your own thing sucks. In game four, he's had too many moments where he's like, you know what, I'm just going to do my own thing, and we'll see how it goes. And it just hasn't been good. Thankfully, last night, Clay and Curry did their part, but I just hope that come game seven, I hope Durant does something, because this shooting 35% in games where your team needs you, it has been tough. I think defensively, you're always going to get a great effort out of Golden State. I mean, I know they lost game five, but, I mean, you know, you held Houston under 100 points. I mean, last night, the effort there. I guess my main point for Golden State has kind of been like, Durant, dude, bring your A game. For all the love this guy gets, you need to play better. So, I guess my quick take on game five was they had a lot of great chances right there down the stretch. Quinn Cook has a wide open three that could have clinched that game. Steph missed a running layup, which could have helped win the game. Draymond fumbled a pass. And next thing you know, you walk out the door with a loss. The offense wasn't quite as steady as it should have been. Having 17 turnovers is not the way Golden State plays. And I think maybe a little bit of that laziness hung over into game six last night. I mean, when they were down 17 points after the first quarter, you're like, God, when's this Golden State team going to come back and play like the way you know they can? And then
yeah, it's like they were in a funk. It's like, what is up with this funk? They got to get out of it. Once they did,
they
clearly late third quarter they did, but yeah, it took a little while.
And thankfully, I think maybe game six is a kind of game for Clay, because he had that insane game six a couple of years ago against Oklahoma City where he went off. And he did the same thing again last night where he hit 9 threes. So great effort by him. Golden State, definitely they found their rhythm. You had to figure that they were going to score over 100 points at home. I mean, this is a team where up until game four had won 16 straight playoff games at home, which was an NBA record. So, I mean, I felt pretty good going into last night, actually really good. But obviously with the game four loss and game five, you're like, okay, and then you start off down 17. It's like, boys, like, let's get going. And they eventually started to catch a rhythm there, cutting the lead from, 17 down to 10 at half. And then set the third quarter, which has kind of been their quarter this year, they just went off. So I expected a win. They got it last night. Clay and Curry did their thing. And when that place gets going, that arena is so dangerous. I'm kind of scared that they have to move to a new place, because you got to imagine a new arena is going to be more, maybe more of like a corporate environment. Because Golden State, they've had their fans. Those fans have sold that arena even when they sucked. And so knowing they're leaving there, I don't know, it's kind of unfortunate, because that arena, you hear a lot of players say, like, kind of right on you. So last night turned out to be good after a rough start. But to kind of wrap up my game five and six thoughts are, the reason that these games have been close at parts, or the reason that Golden State has lost some games, is because they've been without Iguodala. I think if you're a basketball fan and not just someone that like follows on Twitter or only watches what SportsCenter says and stuff like that, if you watch and care about the game and know some stuff, that dude's the reason why this series is still going on. If Iguodala is healthy and playing, this thing was probably done game five for sure last night, game six. But when you lose your best defensive player who never seems to really make a mistake in the big games and can D up basically
anyone. I thought Draymond was your best defensive player. Not anymore.
I
haven't even heard Draymond's name brought up. It's all blame Durant.
Overall, for all the compliments he gets, you need to shoot better than 35%. It's plain
right,
simply,
but you didn't talk about anybody else. Klay Thompson was sleepwalking through this whole playoffs. Haven't even mentioned him, besides he had a great game last night.
Well, I think that having Iguodala out is just kind of a piece to switch things up. Now, overall, throughout a season, I would say Draymond's probably our best overall defensive player. But come playoff times, Iguodala takes that assignment on his shoulders of, I'm going to slow down their best player. With him gone, it's been a little different. Curry's been pretty – Curry had a little bit of a slumper in this series, but he's been playing pretty good of late. Klay's been – I've been happy with how he's been playing. He had a little bit of a slump. I guess he had an off game or so, but I'm happy with how the team's been playing. But again, I think that hopefully Iguodala can hopefully be ready for game seven. I would say that the Chris Paul injury is more harmful to Houston than Iguodala's Golden State, but it's pretty close. So
it's pretty close. Calm. You got four other Hall of Famers in the lineup. Let's calm down. I love Iguodala, but we can't blame it on Iguodala when you have four Hall of Famers in your lineup.
That's fair. He is. All right. No, that you got that. But
Chris
Paul
is way more important on the floor than Iguodala in the long run, though. I love Iguodala.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
A couple years back, he won the MVP in the finals. Dude is a stud. But we got to keep it all in reference. You have four Hall of Famers in a starting lineup, Marshall. Hey, come on.
That's fair. So, but overall, I just, like you said, their game seven for really the everything is tomorrow. They're going to be a massive favorite. Or actually, whoever wins will be a massive favorite going against Houston. I guess I'm not sure how much respect Houston would be favored over Boston. They would be the favorite, but Boston's been I put together quite a year, so I guess I can't predict. I know Golden State would be a pretty heavy favorite against Cleveland.
Well, let's not get into game.
That,
nothing. So yeah. Just finish up your segment, then I'll finish it up, then we'll move on.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's pretty much it. I'm just, you know, just keep – just don't turn into an isolation basketball team. That's not been your MO. You haven't become successful that way. So keep up to the passing.
Well, a couple of years ago, it was actually that. It was a lot of Steph dribbling around, too. So a couple of years ago, they were a lot more isolation and get you in the wrong matchup than they were the last couple of years. Ever since Durant, they were just up and down a lot more, and they spread the ball more. You're right. The ball would move, and that is something. But, you know, Houston has something to do with that, too.
Yeah, and to compliment Houston, I'll say this, and we can move on. They've done a great job of – I mean, I know they're kind of a three-point crazy team, but they've done a great job of really wasting the shot clock down. In Game 5, it was so frustrating because every time the Golden State try to make a run, they make a bucket. It was like, oh, now we got to play defense for 20 more seconds. And, you know, they did a great job of switching Chris Paul onto David West. You know, in the second half, every time that Golden State would make a little bit of a run, Houston would come down, you know, take your time to do your proper, you know, offensive play calling and get a massive mismatch where you had a Golden State big on either Paul or Harden, which is those guys are so hard to stop driving into the lane, especially Harden. So hopefully the little schematics Golden State can either improve on moving around screens or maybe make a couple of different adjustments. But yeah, David White, man, that dude had a tough game, and it's really not his fault. I mean, you're a big, you're doing all you can, but when when he got stuck guarding Paul or Harden or another one of our bigs did, that really puts our guys in a tough spot. So hopefully, they can do their best to move around and be, I guess, better communicating off pick and rolls in Game 7.
So as far as just going over a couple of things, we, you know, James Harden, although he's been inconsistent, I wouldn't say he's been horrible. I mean, he had it popping last night, by the way. In Game 4, he had it popping. Game 1, they lost, but he did have 41 points. You know what I mean? So he's been inconsistent up and down, sure, but that 19 points, you know, I mean, he's had, out of the three games, he's been 40 and 30 twice. So, I mean, he hasn't been garbage. I just wanted to put that in perspective. And then Durant has not been as bad as you're talking about, Marshall. Don't get me wrong. Game 5, there were some issues in there at times, but that was just fourth quarter. What about the 27 points or whatever through three quarters to keep you in the game? I mean, there is such a thing as having a couple stars and you guys take turns too. So the guy has a couple of rough shots in a row, and all of a sudden now he's got to be the one that stands up. Not anybody else, but just him. Not Draymond, who isn't playing like Draymond plays and isn't the defensive player he was a couple years ago as far as intensity. Let's not forget, I mean, he opened the series with 37 and 38. He hasn't even gone under 20 yet. The lowest scoring output was 23. Like, he hasn't been bummy. But, you know, you have other players, too. As far as Curry, he's been, I mean, a couple nights ago, he was really great. He had some solid moments. I remember Game 3 is when he finally broke out, but he was really poor in the first couple games. And you know, he wasn't shooting that well. Then he went for 35 and went off, but he hasn't been able to be as magical, and he's put up some pretty bad shots from three-point range when you're not hot and you don't have your shimmy on. And Clay has just been okay, kind of missing. I'll give him that game where he hurt his knee or banged up his knee a little bit. Obviously, it's not hurt. It was just banged up because, look at last night, he went off. But he's been okay. And he's kind of been – the thing about Clay, though, is it's tough to judge him fully in a lot of ways. Now, whether he was all alone as the number one guy someplace, judging him that way, or since he, you know, I believe, Marshall, he's had to make the biggest adjustment since Durant got there. You know what I mean? And so you could see his numbers have been always down and all that. And, you know, it's a weird adjustment for him. You know, when he was had a green light. Not that he doesn't have a green light, but, you know, sometimes it's – I think the last couple of games before last night, and really just deep in the third and the fourth, it seems like they're all kind of like, are you good? You good? I'm good. But do you want the ball? It's like, dude, just do your flow and get it going, you know. And but we got to give, you know, credit to Houston too, because they have been grinding them down on offense. I mean, on defense, Golden State's had to work all the way to the end of the shot clock. And as we know in this era, in the last, what, 3-4 years, these three-pointers, Marshall, they come off the glass. You don't know where the hell they're going to go. So a lot of times, here you are working. They miss a shot and they get it. Brand new shot clock. You're like, Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? So I think some of that has wore them down. Instead of, like you always said, you can't run with them. You're right. But they're not. They're grinding them down, and yet they still play great defense, making them work for almost everything, you know, that they can there. So it's been really interesting. Now, on the flip side of that, some of the games, like the other team stays in range. Like, oh, they got it to 7. Oh, it's back to 14. Oh, they grinded it down to 6. Oh, it's back to 11. You know, you felt like, okay, it's 7 points, dude. It's only 5 minutes left. There's 2 more 3s. You know what I mean? So it's been a weird series that way where they just can't quite have a great game. So that's been frustrating. But I guess it's been easy to call in a sense because now that we've seen it, I didn't think, first and foremost, and I just realized we haven't done a game since we did the prediction, so I didn't think that they'd lose the first two games, Cleveland. So that's why I picked Cleveland in 6, because I figured they'd split one, win at home, and then, you know, close it out game 7. Much like I thought Golden State in 6, because I thought they'd win one, and sure enough, they won the first one. So I'm like, yep, now it's just a matter of if they can get to 6, you know. But I really was comfortable with that game 5 being at home, as long as they got one. I was really comfortable. As long as they got game 2, they'd get game 5, you know. But this series has been strange. It's been, you know, a variety of pieces along with some veterans, young pieces, I should clarify, for Cleveland. For Cleveland. Cleveland wishes their pieces would produce that are young, but they're not producing. But I'm talking about for Boston. I mean, they've been very, very solid in a lot of ways, especially as we know at home. Both teams have played really well at home and then just at times played like dog shit on the road. It's just like, what the hell's going on? But when you look at these teams, they clearly have flaws. But Rozier, and actually Jaylen Brown too, he's been stepping up lately. Obviously Tatum, I know you're pumped about him, another dookie going off in the playoffs. But it's really about finally getting some help off the bench. You know, Korver for Cleveland has jumped up. Even Nance got double digits. You know, Jeff Green's been pretty solid the whole time. Or not the whole time, but – and also George Hill, I think, has been really good for them. They've needed that, no doubt about it. But let's, you know, all this here. Obviously, the series, it's a game 7, and that's fun, and that's great. But it's freaking LeBron James, dude. I mean, this freaking guy. Like, how many awesome games can you put up? Like, how many more 40? The guy can't score, right, Marshall? He can't score. 42, 44, 46. Like, what do you want from this dude? Like, you can only throw so many stats. I just mentioned how, you know, the last guy to get four 40 point games up to 6 of them was Iverson in 2001. I believe that was in the finals. This is just playoffs, you know, single postseason. He's tied with Jordan right now. Jordan in 89 when Jordan had to score a bunch of points. Not that he didn't score a bunch of points before, but clearly he had to really go off before they started making the finals because they were going against, that year they were going against Detroit. But, you know, the Celtics and Detroit trying to get out of there. He's, He's trying to put up all these damn points. And Jerry West was on teams that were clearly outmatched against the Celtics. He had a season where he had 8. So, I mean, this dude, you look at this guy, like, in elimination games, in game sevens, like, the numbers are just silly. I mean, he's averaging 35 points, almost triple-double, shooting almost 50%. Like, he has the most, you know, game seven career point per average. He's got the most there. The guy, if you look at his elimination games, it's just silly. I mean, this, what else can you say but, wow, freaking LeBron. Like, how many more? It's I hate to keep saying it, but it's silly. It is just silly, man. And it's funny because every time he goes off, which is most of the time, right? Like 99% of the time now in the playoffs, it seems. Then we just go back to those Jordan things, right? But then when he has just a minor okay game, he'll have like 24 and a triple-double, and people are like, yeah, he didn't go off. And then he go back to the Jordan thing. You're like, yeah, I don't remember watching Jordan and saying, yeah, but he's no Dr. J. No, he's no Dr. J. Oh, he's no this, he's no that. He's no Magic. He doesn't pass the ball like – he can't shoot like Bird, you know. Who the hell cares? Let's watch the fucking guy play basketball and move on. What are you so butthurt? Hey, I come from the 80s and 90s, dude. Jordan was – I watched WGN for Jordan in, like, afternoon summer Cub games, but mostly Jordan. Like, whoever had cable – we're like, I got Jordan's channel. It's Oprah and Jordan and Cubs channel. That was WGN. That made them famous. Like, I'm all about Jordan. Now, do I realize that in one of his most clutch shots of his career that people remember that he pushed the fuck off on Russell? Yeah. You know why? Because I'm willing to say it as it's honest, dude. Like, he pushed off on him. Come on. That's easy to see. Not to say the guy isn't the GOAT, whatever you want to say, but this shit is just getting so old. And it's like, guys, I just don't remember a time where while this shit's going on in our face, not early parts of the season, not the last part of the finals, not the free agency, but the whole freaking season, and especially the playoffs, because, you know, that's when you got to be even more clutch. How many times can we go over the same, like, tread the same shit? And that whole clutch gene, dude, he had 2 games in 2011 in their first year as a team where both him and Wade were kind of like, oh, do you want it? I want it. I'm good. Are you good? You know, they didn't know how to play with each other all the way. The guy has 2 back-to-back bad games. And when we say bad games, go back to those games. It's not like they're freaking horrendous, but – Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, people have bad series sometimes. Like, I mean, all right, I'm gonna stop. I'll let you give your take on these game fives and game sixes. And it's actually hard to judge game five, game six, because we can't go to all these moments where this was the crucial part of the game. Although LeBron hitting back to back super far out threes kind of put that thing on ice the other night on Friday night, but it's been a weird series, Marshall. Sorry, I had to just kind of get that off my chest. I'm done now. I feel much better.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I had it going 7 just because, I mean, just from after 4 games, you kind of knowing, okay, well, the home team's going to win. Home team's going to win. Game 7, what will LeBron do? I mean, to see that Boston has averaged, like, I believe it's like 17 points on the road for a first quarter, but then they averaged 29 points at home for the first quarter. It's like, dear God, I don't quite know what it is about that team, because you have a tremendous coach, a lot of young talent, and maybe they just don't have that, like, killer factor yet, because, you know, if we played this series like 20 games, you know, Boston probably wins, you know, more than half. Obviously not having LeBron hurts, but I can't quite figure out why Boston has been so bad on the road, and not even just this round, the entire playoffs. I mean, their home and away number of differentials
playoffs.
Are just...
It's horrendous at home, dude, or on the road.
Yeah, so, I mean, you kind of had a feeling like, okay, well, Boston's going to win at home, and LeBron's not going to lose at home. So game seven, here we go. I mean, you could break down five and six, but really, like, Boston won at home, and game five was basically done after about 8 minutes in. You're like, okay, well,
yeah.
Cleveland's not going to win game five. And I was on a plane flying home for game six, but I see the box score, and you see LeBron do 41-11-9. It's like, guessing Cleveland won. So now it's time for game seven, and I just, what else can the man do? We'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I would think that the thing that scares me the most is how great Cleveland's role players have been at home, and that part of them normally doesn't transition to the road, because LeBron could drop 50 tonight in 4 or 5 hours, and they could still lose easily. Like, who's going to step up and help the man out, you know, because he's going to do his thing.
No K-Love.
Barring something insane happened. Yeah. You need someone. You need a J.R. Smith, who for the past, like, 4 years has been known for being great at Cleveland, but on the road he's average, you know. He needs to get back that crazy swagger he has, where he could hit 4 threes in a row and start dancing, because he has that moment to him. But LeBron just needs a lot of help, because that Boston crowd and their young players, they have something special going on there. Obviously got the advantage with coaching, but I mean, game seven, we get to watch LeBron be part of something special yet again. You know, I don't know what his over-under point predictions are for Vegas. I'm sure they probably got him about 37, 38 points at least for expected to score, but who can step up and help him? You know, I think that's basically what it comes down to. Boston's going to play good at home, and if you're Cleveland, just try to find a way to not let that game be done in the first quarter, you know. Try to keep it to where,
yeah, maybe,
you know,
like first half. Just get to the third quarter, you know?
Yeah, just get to the third quarter. Try to give LeBron a little bit of rest, even 2 to 3 minutes. Get to halftime to where it's a 5-point game, and then just let LeBron do his thing. But if they come out like they've been coming out, to where Boston's up 15 points with 3 minutes left in the first quarter, and you're like, oh, shit. Even if LeBron does this thing, it's like, you can't start making 5-point shots. So,
yeah, right.
And unfortunately, you know, again, the coaching advantage, I mean, I think Stevens is quite a bit above Lou, so that helps much either. And the bench, I mean, just everything's kind of leaning towards Boston except for LeBron. And he's just had another chapter to his story. But yeah, again, if he drops 45 tonight and they lose by 10, I wouldn't be surprised, Chris.
Me neither.
You can't.
And he'll still get ripped for it.
So, I mean, I'm excited for it to watch tonight. I hope it is a close game. I mean, I don't really have a huge favorite. I've never really been a Cleveland fan. I'm definitely not a Boston fan, but I am a fan of LeBron, so I hope he gets a win. You know, I think looking at his playoff run this year with his lack of help, it's been tremendous what he's done. And I guess I'll just say this and I'll throw it back to you. I do find it kind of comical about how, like, Toronto, like, fans and people have been, like, kind of bitching at themselves. They're like, how the hell did we get swept by them when, you know, Indiana and Boston are, like, people in Toronto are like, what were we doing, guys, that we couldn't win some games at home? You know, but just I hope he goes off. I hope he gets some help, and I'm pulling for him. If I had to pick, I would probably lean towards Boston, because I think numbers show you that the way they played at home. I think that I believe they're a 2.5-point favorite, so I think everything's kind of leaning their way. But you know, not many guys in Boston have probably played in a game of this magnitude of game sevens in the NBA with so much on the line with all those rookies. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But
that's true.
Because Tatum and Brown, Rozier, and all these guys, like, they're great young players, but they've never been in a moment like this. So are any of them going to step up and kind of do their part? I don't know. We'll see. But I think the Houston Golden State game will be more competitive, and I hope it's not blowout tonight. But part of me is like, dude, if Boston goes off and LeBron gets no help, it's going to be a tough one.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm kind of cruising through some forums and a couple of YouTube videos, just put in LeBron, and this one's titled LeBron James Legacy on the Line Tonight. Like, come on, dude. tonight. So tonight, it all matters tonight. Like, period. Like, why would that? It does. Just fucking think about what you're saying, dude. Like, oh my god. But yeah, no Kevin Love. It's not like the vague Chris Paul. We don't know. I think he's gonna give it a go, but we don't know if how he's gonna be on the court till Game 7 Monday. But Kevin Love's not playing in the game from the concussion. Unless something's changed, you know, in the last little bit. But have you heard anything change? I haven't.
I haven't, and I bet Chris Paul maybe gives it a go, but I doubt he'll be too effective.
Yeah,
I mean, pulled hamstring, those are one of the worst injuries because all it takes is, you know, I've never thankfully done this playing sports. I know people that, you know, you pull your hamstring and then you're like, all right, well, I'm going to stretch it, get loose. And then if it doesn't fully heal and you pull it again, then, I mean, that puts athletes in such a tough spot where, you know, the guy wants to do all he can. He's never made the finals. He has kind of had a bad reputation on him about never being, you know, tremendous in the playoffs, never making it. So, I mean, you know, I'm sure he's trying to do all he can, but there's not really a way to cheat the system. I mean, you pull your hamstring, there's nothing you can do to really, you know, make it better.
Well, you saw his face, too. When he did it, and then the trainer came over to him, you saw it all play out there. You knew, okay.
Yeah.
First of all, he's out of this game for sure. Second of all, you thought, okay, well, for sure he's probably going to – they're just going to – being that they're up 3-2, they got to rest him just to give it a try.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, it really matters. The fact that he did fly and get on a plane tells me something. I just don't know what. Because a lot of times you don't want to get on a plane and be, you know, stiff and be in one spot for so long. It's not that long of a plane ride. But, I don't know. We're really going to have to wait and see. And that kind of – So you have Boston winning. I forgot. We didn't really wrap. Well, we already have our – we already both picked Cleveland. But tonight, you think Boston's going to do it?
I think they win. Yeah. I just don't know who's going to step up and help the guy out. I mean, it would suck to see the man score 50 and lose. But I don't know. Maybe he'll drop 60 tonight. Who knows? If there was just someone else that sees him.
They only had him for about 4 minutes in that game. But once again, the role players are much better at home. So it's hard to judge on.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't have him last game, basically, and they kicked ass. True. But, you know, like we said, the whole role player thing. So you're picking Boston to finish it off?
Yeah, I'm taking Boston. And then I think that, as we just mentioned injuries again, I think that I doubt we see a healthy Chris Paul, so I'm going to take Golden State. I mean, I think that back against the wall, I'd expect Golden State to win even with a Chris Paul, but that is such a massive difference for them, especially with D'Antoni. Chris only playing seven guys basically the whole game for every, you know, for like games 3-6 or 3-5. He's just had a seven-man rotation where, you know, Gerald Green was busting his ass and doing stuff. Well, you can't go a true six-man rotation, and you just lost a guy that probably averages the second most minutes on your team and controls the ball and Harden's not there. So that's such a tough thing to replace. And, again, the hamstring, maybe he'll try. But even if he does play, I don't think he'll be, you know, he'll probably be more 75-80%. So I will take Golden State. It was favored by 6, and I believe Boston's favored by 2.5, so.
Cleveland.
Okay.
I'm going to go Cleveland. Fuck it. I just think it's going to find a way.
It's right.
It's my, like, that's the thing. I don't really, I don't let my fan boy stuff come in, but, to it usually, but
yeah,
I am on this one. I'll just admit it. And yeah, it's tough for me to, you know, I kind of feel like Houston would win it. But with all Paul, just because they're at home and the way they play lately, but I just, without Paul, and I can't even say without him because they'll probably play, like you said, but you just, at this point, we just don't know, you know what I mean, it can happen. Like I said, you go back to how he looked and then that trainer looked and the overall, being that how much they – like, in that moment, and even after the game, in that moment, you're going to be pretty damn happy. You're up 3-2. You know what I mean? And you can just tell, like, nah, it's not any celebration right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I'm going Golden State. I'm going Golden State in seven. No, I'm just kidding. But I am going Golden State too. I'm going Golden State as
all
well.
Right.
So we're gonna let these games play out. Obviously, it's gonna be, I'm not gonna say a quick turnaround, but we are gonna have to do a show here kind of soon. The finals start Thursday. They made a mistake. I like the idea of not waiting 8 days for the finals to start. You know, I do like that part. But I think they dropped the ball a little bit on the rest period for the conference finals. You know, they gave them a couple of days, which was cool, but then it's been on every other since it started. So that's cool for a fan, but I think that there should have been a two-day break somewhere in there. But I understand how they did the schedule, and it's cool right now, especially this finals, because I don't want to wait around 7 days for something I know it's going to happen. So
no.
I already know the outcome. So it works that way, that it starts Thursday, and that's great. But now you look at – then they space the shit out of those games, Marshall. Like, if you look at the schedule, it's like a 3-day gap between a lot of them. So – or at least a 2-day gap. So I see what they were doing to try to make the finals like – where they're fresh legs. But I kind of felt like the – after game fours – or moving cities, you know, whatever, they needed a 2-day buffer in there somewhere. And you can see some of these games. I mean, we've had a flashback to the 90s in a couple of these games, Marshall. If you look at the scoreboard, you're like, what the fuck,
absolutely.
Dude? I mean, it was four games that Golden State this playoffs haven't hit 100. Two of them, I believe, coming this one, or two or three here. But it's been kind of crazy, but it's been refreshing that way, too. I do think, though, one of those games – or maybe a quarter of those games of just kind of ugly, my legs are tired. I think that's kind of come through a bit as well. Basically, as a fan, I just want to see two tight-ass games. I know you only want to see one tight-ass game, and I understand 100%.
Yep.
You want to see a 32-21 lead at the end of the first quarter for the Warriors on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But as a fan, I just want to see two tight games.
Sure.
But I am so happy, Marshall, because I'm off today and off tomorrow. So technically,
beautiful.
I get to watch the Game 7 from the East, obviously, and then I get to watch the NBA Finals Game 7, because that's basically what we're calling it. I damn near labeled the show that, but I didn't want to do that. You know. Just because of marketing purposes, you know, from when that time comes,
Sure.
But we'll be back somewhat soon compared to what we've been doing. Obviously, we both know the outcome to the final, so it's not like, oh, we got to get it 3 days before so we can really, because there's a lot of debate and all that. It's really not that type of thing. So we're going to get back at you maybe next Friday. It could be Thursday. It could be – I don't really know exactly what it's going to be. But we'll definitely get that figured out. Who knows? It could be Tuesday. We'll definitely get that figured out. And by the way, if this is your first time listening to our show, whether it's the college football show that will start in August, it's called the – basically, this is the NBA Playoffs Banter Podcast. It runs from the beginning of the playoffs – all the way through the finals. Then we do two more shows. We do an NBA draft show late June, and then early July. And the way this year is going to work out, who the frick knows? It may be mid-July by the time we get all this stuff figured out. Everybody whining and dining, you know. But we will do an NBA free agency show as well. Then we take a little cahootas until college football comes up. But just so you know, we do have a handful of more shows left. So stay with us basically on a weekly basis, but it gets a little spread out here at the end. Just wanted to have a quick reminder for everybody out there.
Yeah, and without me teaching or having the summer off, and even next year having a better schedule, I think we easily a Tuesday or Wednesday show. Hopefully we can recap two incredible Game 7s. And I saw a thing on Twitter yesterday saying I think USC football starts in 10 weeks. So college football, I mean, I've been missing some football, bud, and not coaching it this upcoming year for high school, I'll be able to enjoy it a little more. I'm excited. But as Chris said, we'll see what LeBron does tonight. I think he'll score 47. I'll just throw that out there. And if I nail that, I can brag a little bit on our next show. But as always, our listeners, we love. I got him scoring 47. What do you think LeBron drops tonight?
I think at the end of the game, he's gonna have a little piece of paper.
Yeah.
He's gonna have a little piece of paper. They're gonna take a photo of him. It's gonna be a flashback. Flashback to Wilt. It's gonna have 101 on it, not 100. No, I'm just kidding. That'd be sweet, though. I'm waiting for that photo. Because you know that photo where he's got 100, and that's like the highlight of the night. Some dude took a photo of him and wrote an article, and that was the write-up. That was the big hype for the night. Isn't that crazy how times have changed? But, shit, even in the 70s, the NBA Finals were on tape delay. I'm going to go, God, yeah, he'll add another 40. So he's going to tie Jerry West. And if he makes it to the finals, we know he's going to break that record because he's got 4 games to do it regardless. What'd you say again? 40? I'm sorry.
47.
47. I'm going to go 41. 41, but a triple-double. 41 with a triple.
Okay.
Which is light work. A triple-double is light work for Bronny anyway, so. Plus, he's going to have to do it. Although, God, it's going to be hard to get the assist without Love. Who knows when Love would show up anyway. Who knows?
Well,
anyway.
Make sure you watch and enjoy those games. It's going to be a fun one. Hopefully, I'm talking about Golden State playing in the finals again. I know I hit the repeat button. That's fine by me. So, until then, enjoy our listeners. I hope everyone has a very safe and fun Memorial weekend. The boys will be back soon. Peace.